Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation. And we're going to try something new here tonight because it is the 21st century after all. And I'm trying to start and do a Periscope broadcast with our program tonight. And we're going to have some technical difficulties here because I had everything set up on my smartphone, which you have to be smarter than, but I had the camera reversed to the other side, and I thought, why can't I get a picture? This is pretty good, you know, start the first time trying Periscope and no picture. Then I realized that the camera is facing the wrong way, so I need to get the camera turned around so that the lens is facing towards me. So I'm going to have somebody try to figure that out, and or at least temporarily, I think we'll have somebody hold that because I thought I would have it here and it would all be set up and we'd be ready to go. But give us a try on Periscope if you have Periscope. Bear with us if you have Periscope. We're trying to figure this out. I've never done it before. I just signed up for Twitter this past week so that I could establish the Periscope account so that we could try that. It took me a long time just to get on Facebook in the first place. I used to tell people I could walk down the street and I could holler out what I'm doing every few minutes or so, give everybody an update on my status, and I'd have several followers, probably several of whom would be cops. But so finally, a couple of years ago, we went on Facebook, and you can find us on Facebook if you look for us in Live with Pastor Al on Facebook, but we have our regular webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And so I encourage you to check us out there. And if you're on Twitter or your Periscope, give us a try there. We're going to give this a try here tonight, and we'll have to work out the kinks on this and try and figure out how to make it a better Periscope experience as well. All right. Well, we usually start our program with a word of prayer, so let's go ahead and do that tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. We do ask that you would bless the program this evening. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us to be an encouragement to believers and help us to lift up and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ through the things that we talk about. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, like I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, and I am pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Good to be with you tonight, and we have a live program. Our telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we can get you on the air here tonight with your questions. And it looks like my expert technical staff here has been able to get the camera switched around so I can actually, there, now that I have my hand in front of it there so I can move it, so I can actually see on Periscope right now. And so we'll follow that and see what happens. But again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Want to get to some news that just came out today as we get into a few things here tonight, because we talk about a variety of things on the program. We certainly talk about current events in light of God's Word, and we talk about Bible questions, of course, as well. And this hit the news today. Hillary Clinton's emails apparently have exposed an Iranian nuclear scientist by the name of Shahram, I guess it's Amiri, and he basically was executed when it came out. It was reported in a variety of sources here that last night that Iran executed nuclear scientist Shahram Amiri, He had defected to the United States previously, and then recently he had returned into Iran. And on Face the Nation earlier this morning, Senator Tom Cotton, he talked about how that Amiri had appeared in some of the classified emails that had appeared on Hillary Clinton's private server. And, you know, a lot of people trying to say that they didn't really agree or think that it wasn't that big of a deal. Some of the stuff that was on her server. Had somebody asked me one time not too long ago, don't you think she might have just got confused? And she was trying to say, well, you know, those classifications, they're kind of hard to tell sometimes. Believe me, as somebody who had that type of a classification, I can tell you just by the look of the story here, naming somebody who was giving us sensitive information about a top secret program of a foreign power, certainly a power that was an adversarial power in their relationship to us, we can tell that right away that information, especially with the guy's name, that is going to be top secret, and it's going to be beyond top secret. It's going to get into the code word material. It's going to get into a higher level of a classification. And I know I dealt with that when I was in the Air Force, that type of material. And so there's no excuse for putting this kind of information out in a place where it can be easily obtained by somebody. You say, well, why are you bringing that up tonight? I thought it was supposed to be a Christian program. Well, yes, and I'm bringing this up because, you know, we're going to have an election here in a few months, and we need to make a decision. We don't have perfect candidates, and we never do. Somebody pointed out Jesus Christ is not running for president, and so we're not going to have perfect candidates. So oftentimes we have to vote for the one that is going to be the least imperfect, if I can put it that way, the one that hopefully will do the least amount of damage to our country. And then, of course, in regards as a Bible-believing Christian, the one that is going to do the least amount of damage in terms of our Christian liberties and some of the social issues that we certainly have concern about, such as abortion and things of that, defense of marriage, things of that nature. And when we look at this particular case here, for a woman that since her 20s, when she graduated from law school and was working on the Watergate trial, she's been exposed to classified material all her life. I spent one term in the Air Force. I was exposed to classified material, worked with it. That was part of my job. And I still remember some of the things that I had to go through. And that was back in the 1980s. This woman has been working with classified material pretty much all of her adult life. And to have such callous disregard for some of our nation's top secrets, above top secret type material, and that has resulted here, this is about as smoking of a smoking gun as you can get. This man died. He was executed by Iran for leaking information on the Iranian nuclear program. She disclosed that in her unsecured servers, information that I've heard other people say that are knowledgeable in this area, that probably everybody from the Russians to the Chinese to the North Koreans, and now obviously we can tell the Iranians, has had access to this material. This is sensitive material, and we need to be concerned when we're looking at somebody who is so cavalier with this type of sensitive material. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13 says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is a faithful servant, spirit, concealeth the matter." And we need to be careful with some of these things. We need to conceal certain things because these are life or death issues. That's why they're classified in the first place. And as somebody that is so cavalier that they just let these secrets go out, they have no concern for the safety. Excuse me for my rant tonight, but I dealt with this kind of material. I personally know people that lost their security clearance for doing far, 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 far less than what Hillary Clinton has basically admitted to herself, and certainly what the FBI director said in his report that she did. I know people who were booted out of the Air Force for this. I know people who have been sent to jail for violating the rules, and yet Well, I need to get off my rant here. So we want to get back to some other things. I just wanted to get that information out there. It's a story that's out right now. You can look at this, and we need to be concerned about these things because the Bible does warn us about these things. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And so we need to be aware of these things. And, you know, we need to pray for people who are running for public office. We need to pray for the people that are on the ticket, whether it's Hillary Clinton on the Democrat side or Donald Trump on the Republican side. I know he's not perfect either, but he didn't leak top secret, above top secret information that we have confirmation now resulted in the death of this Iranian scientist that was providing this information to us. I mean, that's blood that's directly on her hands. I have no qualms about saying that. You probably won't get that in the mainstream media here tomorrow in the morning news cycle. In fact, they may just try to cover it up. But go online, look at some of this. It's breaking now. You can find it on various sites, and you can just Google that. I found some of the information just by Googling, I think it was Hillary Clinton, Iranian nuclear scientist, and you can find some of these things. Well, I think one of the reasons that our country is in such trouble that it is in today is precisely because God's people, and specifically us as pastors, and I am a pastor, have not addressed these things in our churches. We've been afraid to talk about these things. We've been afraid to tell people when there's sin and grievous sins taking place in our government and by our government officials. We need to admit these or talk about these things, and we need to educate our people, the people in our churches, on what to look for as Christians when we go to vote. And like I said, there's nobody perfect there that we can vote for. We don't know all the details about some of these stories, and certainly this is a developing story, but you need to be informed. If you're not registered to vote, let me encourage you, get out and register to vote. Christians should have a voice in our country. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to be salt and light in the world. The Holy Spirit works through His people. Salt retards spoilage. Light pushes back darkness. So if you think about that, as salt, we're retarding the spirit or the moral decay. We're trying to retard the moral decay of our country. And as light, we're supposed to be pushing back the spiritual darkness as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ and become closer to Him. Well, let me give out those numbers again. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the program here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And I appreciate those that have joined us on Periscope. We've got a number of people on there, and I will apologize in advance. See, I've got these crazy glasses that they have the distance up here, the medium range here, and the close up down here. Like, what do they call those, progressive lenses? And if I get my head in the wrong position, I can't focus on anything. And so I'm trying to have see what's written on the screen there. But our phone number, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And, of course, there's a variety of ways that you can listen to the program online in addition to Periscope here. We're broadcasting, of course, from the studios of WHK W Radio in Independence, Ohio, and you can find their live stream at whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. And we're also broadcasting in Tampa, Florida on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. That's Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. And I had written down here somewhere their website address here, and I don't see it right at the moment, and I'm afraid to move my papers or I'll knock the phone over with the Periscope feed going on. But the phone number again, 888-677-9673. We don't have to talk about politics. As I said, we talk about questions about the Bible, as well as questions about current events in light of God's Word. And so I encourage you to give us a call. All right, a couple other things I wanted to mention here. There was something else that I saw in the news here this evening as I was getting ready for the program that I wanted to mention, and this is certainly a praise. The High Court in Ireland has ruled that an unborn baby has a right to life. Now, that's a tremendous thing. You know, we understand, of course, that human beings are alive at the moment of conception. People try to say, well, we're not sure when life begins. Let me tell you, life begins at the moment of conception. There's just no way around that. If it wasn't alive, there'd be no need for an abortion. Did you ever stop to think about that? If that unborn child was not alive, if it wasn't something that was living and growing, there'd be no need for an abortion. An abortion is ending a life. And so we understand that the child is alive. It's just not at the same development that you and I are at. It's not been born yet. It's not fully developed. And in Psalm 139, the Bible says in Psalm 139, in verse number 14, actually, let's go back to verse 13. It says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." And what he's saying there is that before we were born, and this really goes back to the moment of conception, at the exact moment of conception, when the sperm and the egg unite, there's half of your genetic code comes from your father, half comes from your mother, and it combines to form one complete genetic code for an individual human that's distinct from the father, distinct from the mother. And anybody that studied biology, I studied biology in college, and you know, it's very clear. At the moment of conception, there's a unique human life. It's alive, it's distinct, and it's human. It's human DNA, and it's distinctly different from the father and the mother. It's alive, and it's reached a point where, as yet, it's unperfect. The members are not fully formed, the arms and the limbs and the legs and things like that. But he says there in Psalm 139, verse 16, in thy book, here in verse 16, in thy book, all my members were written, and which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were was none of them. And I believe that's a reference to the DNA, because at that moment, the DNA is put together. The most information-dense molecule that we've ever seen, or actually the most information-dense storage media that can ever be imagined. We're just discovering all of the amazing things about DNA. When they finally identified DNA, they thought it was some kind of protein at first that gave you your characteristics and things like that. But they finally discovered that it was DNA. And when they did, they thought at first that you just read down the molecule one way. And then they realized that you can also go backward, and they skip around and skip portions and skip this way and skip that way, skip forward, skip backward. And it's kind of like arranging all the letters on a page diagonal or in a box and then reading backwards, forwards, and diagonally. And now some of the latest things is they're studying epigenes, which are the things that act upon the DNA to determine which part of the DNA is read, to determine which direction the DNA is read, and all sorts of things like that. And that's a whole nother complex language that's laid down on top of the DNA. And it's amazing. We spend millions of dollars studying or searching for signs of intelligent life somewhere out in the cosmos. We have radio telescopes all over the world. And we've been doing this for decades, trying to identify a small string of non-random information that scientists assure us will indicate the presence of intelligent life. And yet, when you look inside the cell of every single living organism, you find the most information dense, the most complex information storage system ever known. It's far beyond anything that any of our computer programmers could ever come up with. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, and when our substance is yet unperfect, it's written in God's book, and it's there. The DNA is the blueprint how to describe a human being or build a corn plant or produce a cat or whatever you're looking at. Well, back to this story that I started talking about, the High Court in Ireland ruled that an unborn baby has the right to life. And this is a great story. You know, I'm kind of heartened that there's some members of our Supreme Court in this country that said we ought to look to foreign law for guidance on some of our Supreme Court decision. Now you say, wait a minute, I thought you were coming at this from a conservative point of view. Well, maybe they'll look to the Irish High Court and rule that a unborn child in America also has a right to life. Wouldn't that be amazing? You know, the Supreme Court in the Roe versus Wade case ruled that the unborn baby does not have an automatic right to life, that the situation of the mother, the mother's choice, the mother's decision trumps the life of this unborn child. And so that's why I'm glad to see that at least one other country in the world, they've had enough sense to rule that a unborn child has rights, the right to life, which, as they said, must be taken seriously by the state. This was reported in the Irish Times that Justice Richard Humphreys said the unborn child, including the unborn child of a parent facing deportation, enjoys significant rights and legal position at common law by statute and under the Constitution, that's the Irish Constitution, quote, going well beyond the right to life alone. And we can only pray that our highest court in the land, the United States Supreme Court, might make a ruling like this. That's why the next election is going to be so important, because the next president is immediately going to fill the vacant seat of Justice Scalia, who died recently. And then also Justice Ginsburg has indicated that she's going to resign right after the next president comes into office. So that gives the next president two seats to fill on the Supreme Court. There's another justice, I want to say Justice Breyer, who is, I believe, or Stevens, one of the two, they're talking about possibly because of health and all, he may have to step down. So that's a possibility of three Supreme Court justices to be appointed in the first term, and some people say possibly as many as four during the 4 years of the next president. And so we got to consider the ramifications of who we vote for in the fall. What kind of justices are they going to put on the court? Would they put justices on the Supreme Court that would agree with the Irish High Court that an unborn baby has the right to life? Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to look at this here look at a couple things more here in just a minute. We do have a break coming up in just a couple of minutes, and we will take a break for a few minutes there, but we got about 3 minutes or so before the break. And I wanted to mention again that you can check us out on livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. You can go on Facebook, look for us, Live with Pastor Al. You can link there from our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. And in addition to that, you can find us on Twitter. I almost tried to forget what I'm on here tonight. Yeah, bear in mind, it's the first time I've been on Twitter. We just started this past week. You can follow us on Twitter. And while we've been online here, we've got with Periscope. As a result, went on Twitter so that we could get on Periscope. We're trying that tonight. We've had a number of people stop by on Periscope, and we want to thank you for that. And I'm trying to be able to focus on my phone sitting over there so that I can see the things that come up to read some of them on occasion. But I appreciate those that have been on there. Appreciate you bearing with us here tonight. And also, again, encourage you, if you have questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we're going to be on until midnight tonight here, approximately thereabout. In radio time, it's never exactly that. You know the drill. And you watch TV, you know that an hour program is never a full hour. I think, what is it, the 30-minute news broadcast is only 22 minutes or something like that. And so, you know an hour in radio is not a full 60 minutes. But we're glad for the time that we have, and we're glad that you're here with us. And our goal, our hope, is that we can encourage you in your walk with Christ. Our hope is that we can help you to not only know what you believe about the Bible, what you believe about God, but to know why you believe it. I had a conversation with a gentleman at church today, and we were talking about that, about how so many people really don't know what they believe, and even fewer know why they believe what they believe. We live in a day and age where just to say, well, because that's what they told me at church, that's not good enough. You run into a lot of people, and they were told something different at their church, or they were told something different outside of church, and to just say, well, that's what my pastor said, and therefore I believe it. Well, that's not good enough. Paul commended the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, I believe it is. He said they were nobler than those in Thessalonica. And the reason he said they were nobler was because not only did they believe what he had to say, but they checked him out. They went back to the scriptures that they had, and they checked out what he said. And the Apostle Paul commended them for looking at what he said and checking out what he and evaluating what he said compared to the scriptures. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to know what you believe, but I want it to be based on the scriptures. And I want to help you, hopefully encourage you, to understand
the why. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
And glad to have you with us here tonight. And I apologize if you were watching on Periscope. I inadvertently cut our feed off as we were talking here. On Periscope tonight for the first time. We're trying to give this a try here this evening. So bear with us. I'm trying to adapt to the technology here. And I guess you got to work with that. It'll take a little time, but we're glad to be back on Periscope, and you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. If you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'd love to have you give us a call here this evening. Also, a reminder that we're brought to you tonight not only by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, but we're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, and that's right on the east side of Cleveland. And East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And if you give them a call at 216-341-9100, that's 216-341-9100, and mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. And say, well, Pastor Al, I don't live in Ohio, and I'm never going to be able to go there, but the pizza sounds good. Well, if you want to get started in your own pizza business or have a restaurant and you're looking for a great pizza recipe, take it from me. It's good pizza. You can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. All right, let me set that back over there, and we're going to get back into our program here this evening. Like I said, it'll be on until midnight tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Welcome to those that are listening tonight on Periscope. If you have access to Periscope, I established a Twitter account just this past week so that I could go on Periscope. And we've been on Facebook. Like I said, we just started Facebook not too long ago. And so now we're giving this a try. I've heard some other programs doing it, had good feedback from some of them. And so I took it as maybe the Lord trying to influence me to get into this direction. So we've got it going, and we're going to take some calls tonight. If you've got a call about a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we are going with Donald in Tampa, Florida tonight. Donald, you're up tonight. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Hello.
Good evening.
I spoke with you once before from Sugarman Falls, where I used to live.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I have one question about the doubting Thomas.
Yes.
Why did he doubt Jesus' return when he was with Jesus prior 3 years and saw him perform miracles and, you know, and Jesus even said, you know, I'll be back. And then when Thomas saw him, he still didn't believe him.
Well, you know,
until he went up and touched them, you know.
Right, right. And because remember, he wasn't there the first time that Jesus appeared to the disciples. And I'm going to take a look over here in John chapter 20. Let's take a look there real quick. John chapter 20. And let me find this here. Jesus is appearing to different people here. And let me get my glasses adjusted so I can see what I'm doing here. John chapter 20. And here in verse 19, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side, and they were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus talks to them here, and let me drop down to verse 24. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand inside, I will not believe. And then as it goes on to say, it was 8 days later that Jesus appeared again, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus had him come over and touch his side and the nail prints in his hands. And yeah, we look at that, and like you said, you know, he was with him, and he heard Jesus' prophecies. But, you know, the thing that's interesting with this, when you look at this, I don't know if it's in this same passage here, but remember that all of the disciples had some doubt, and even elsewhere in the Gospels where it talks about the two that were on the Emmaus Road, and they were talking about what they saw happening in Jerusalem with Jesus being crucified, and Jesus appeared, and he hid himself from his appearance from them, or his identity from them. They didn't know they were talking about Jesus, and remember, they said, well, don't you know what's happened? Because he asked what they were sad about, what they were talking about, and then Jesus went on to tell them and expound from the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, how that the Messiah had to come and die, and those two disciples, they were also doubting. So all the disciples doubted to a degree, and Thomas, because he was not there, he was the last one convinced. And I think the Scripture tells us about Thomas because, you know, that addresses, you know, the heart of man. Even when things are right there obvious in front of us, when we see things obvious, we still sometimes don't believe. You know, we're kind of like the guy that when he said to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. There's still that doubt that's there, and Thomas shows that to us. And all of the disciples had trouble even believing that Jesus was going to die and be resurrected. And even Peter, after the resurrection, everything at one point said, well, I'm going back to fishing. And so Thomas, you know, we look at him and we call him Doubting Thomas. But, you know, I think just about any of us, were we there in that same situation, it would have been hard for us to accept, too.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah.
Now, if it were you or I, okay, and
yeah,
we were there for 3 years, okay, and we saw this, I mean, all I would have to do is see him make a blind man see, you know, in front of me.
Yeah.
I would believe anything after that.
Well,
okay? I wouldn't doubt him.
Yeah. Well, here's a follow-up to that. Here's a follow-up to that. The Jewish people, when they left Egypt, they saw God work tremendous miracles that delivered them from Egypt. And then as they traveled out of Egypt, they were led by the presence of God in a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And they watched the Red Sea part. God fed them with manna from heaven, brought the quails in. And you know what? They still doubted him.
Right, exactly.
And that's, unfortunately, that's a part of our sin nature that we have, that even as believers, you know, we doubt God all the time. And yet we've seen him do amazing things in our lives. And now, not everybody would, you know, like Thomas, doubt him with that obvious of a situation, but there's certainly some who would, and I think Thomas speaks to those people. Thomas speaks to those people that, you know, unless it's concrete, even, you know, we know all the prophecies of the coming of the Lord that are in the Bible, and they're still born-again believers, genuinely love the Lord, they're saved, they've experienced the new birth, and yet they're still not 100% sure that God's going to catch away the believers out of the world. They're still not 100% sure that the Lord's going to return just like he said, and we doubt. In fact, some of the things in the New Testament are written, you know, so that we wouldn't doubt. You know, Paul says, comfort one another with these words. So, but yeah, you bring up a good point with Thomas. You would think Thomas, as of anybody, should believe because he was there.
Yeah.
And he saw these things. And yet, by the same token, he still had this doubt. And that shows that no matter what we see, evidence of the Lord working in our lives and around us, you know, there's always going to be somebody who doubts.
Well, the same as if I'm standing in front of the Red Sea and all of a sudden it parts and I'm walking through it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, you know, going to the Promised Land. You know, whatever God wants, He got. From this point on, man, this, you know, and the pillar of fire, you know, if I saw all of this, I would not complain about what I had to eat. You know.
No, but yet they did.
I know.
And it's sometimes it's hard to fathom the human heart, and you know. But God, the amazing thing is, God knows our heart. He knows our doubts. And I like what he said to Thomas here. Let me get back to John 19 here. John 20 here again. When Thomas is there, you know, God sort of gently deals with him, because he says here in John 19, verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And it's amazing the patience that Jesus displays towards Thomas here. He knew Thomas's doubts, and before Thomas could even ask or say anything, he says, Thomas, listen, come over here. And he invites him to do just what he said, unless I do that, I won't believe. And, you know, it doesn't say that Thomas ran over and did it right away, but it does say the very next thing that Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And then go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing.
Yeah, and then I was going to say, and then it says, and Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And you know, that addresses you and I. You know, so he says, Thomas, you've seen me. You've seen the scars, and you've believed. And then there's a special blessing there that Jesus gives to people like you and I. I've not seen the risen Jesus. You know, I've read about him in the Bible. I've you know, experienced his presence in prayer and worship, but I've not seen the scars in his hands and his feet and his side. And yet, like you, I've believed even though I haven't seen, and because I'm believing the witness that we have here. And in fact, that chapter closes out by saying, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That's a tremendous account there in that section, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Donald, I want to thank you for that. That was a great question to bring up.
Thank you.
So
thank
I
you
appreciate
for talking
that.
Again.
Well, thank
and
you. Hope you'll call back again sometime.
I listen to you every Sunday.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. God bless.
Nice talking to you again.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
God bless you, too.
All right. We're going to jump to our next caller. And again, our lines are open, 888-677-9673. Carol's calling in from Cleveland, Ohio next. Carol, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, I have a question.
Why do some churches struggle to maintain 80 to maybe 120 members, and other churches just seem to spring up as mega churches? I mean, both are, you know, fundamental and preaching the gospel. I mean, other than the obvious, you know, the Holy Spirit.
I understand the question. It's one that I asked the Lord about and try to figure out myself. If I knew the answer to that, I'd be making a lot more money than what I'm making now as a church growth consultant. I don't know. I can't understand it sometimes, because I'd like to learn to struggle with a church of 50 to 80 people. I mean, that would be great. That's a lot bigger than our church is. We're a very small church. And, you know, a long time ago, I came to the conclusion that it's ultimately up to God. God is going to work in the church. He's going to use it in some fashion. Every church, like every individual Christian, in some ways is an individual. If you think about it, you know how different churches have their own characteristics, just like individual church or Christians do. And I'm not talking about denominational characteristics, but individual churches, because they're made up of a unique mix of people. And in some churches that where the doctrine is correct and Jesus Christ is preached and all the things that you think that you do that are supposed to be right, and yet they just struggle to maintain, struggle to get people in, struggle to grow. And it's not necessarily because they're in a town where there's maybe only 1,000 people. You know, if you were running a church of 100 in a town of 1,000 people, that would be 10% of your community would be in your church. And, you know, if I had that in Richfield, Ohio, where I pastor, I'd have a church of over 600 people just from the town of Richfield alone there, Richfield Village, Richfield Township. And you think about a church in a city of a million people, you know, I don't know if they'd be able to find a place to contain them all, maybe. But the thing of it is, each church is going to grow and as God blesses them. But sometimes, no matter what you do, you're just not going to see spectacular growth, whereas other churches don't seem to have to do too much, and they grow rapidly. And I guess what I'm saying is I learned a long time ago, I'm not going to figure out God and why he has some churches grow fast and others not. And I'm just going to be in the position of saying, you know what? I want to be the church that God wants us to be. I want to follow the word of God. I want to preach the gospel. I want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to defend the word of God. I want to point people to Christ so that the unsaved people can get saved. I want to encourage Christians in their walk with the Lord. And I want to do what I can to be used of God, however he wants me to be, whether I have two people in a church service, or if I had 200 people or 2,000 or 200,000. You know, ultimately, you know, it's not my concern, in a sense, of the numbers of people that are there. That's up to God. If he wants us to be a big church, we'll be a big church. If he wants us to grow fast, we'll grow fast. If he wants us to stay small, then he'll keep us small no matter what we do. I'm just content to have an opportunity to be where the Lord places me. But, you know, the interesting thing that I found out is years ago, pastoring, and I was concerned and praying and trying all kinds of things. You know, we've actually put John and Romans and Bible tracts in basically every home, or most every home. I shouldn't say every home, but sure we missed a few within a 5-mile radius of where our church meets. And we certainly don't have the numbers that reflect that. But by the same token, God has given us other opportunities that sometimes we don't fully understand. One of them is this radio program right here. You know, not everybody gets the chance to be on a radio program doing this sort of thing. Not everybody gets the chance to reach out through an internet ministry. And so we may not see large numbers, for instance, in our church, but that shouldn't discourage us from serving God. And I would say that any church, if you know that you're doing the right things, if you know that you're doing what you can, and we can all do better, we can all do more, but if you know that you're doing what God wants you to do as a church, then, you know, we should be content to allow God to bless in how he sees fit. Sometimes, quite frankly, a small church has more flexibility than a bigger church, and I've learned that over the years pastoring a small church. If we want to do something, I don't have to advertise we're going to have a business meeting, you know, 6 months in advance and try to get enough people there that we can have a business meeting where we feel everybody's got their say-so. I could say, well, you know, hey, most everybody's here today. What about this? And we can discuss it right there on the spot. You know, we have a lot of flexibility. But on the other hand, a big church has resources, and they have the ability to do things that a church like ours can never do. And so God has uses for both of us, is what I've come to the conclusion. But the most important thing is to stay faithful to the word of God and just trust God. God's the one that's keeping score. We don't need to keep score. And, you know, would I like to have a bigger church? Sure would. You know, I think of how much more we could do with the radio if we had a bigger church. If our church was twice the size that we are now, we could have a bigger footprint on the radio. We could even have more time on the radio, in addition to more markets that we could be in. But we're where God wants us to be. We're doing what God wants us to do. And, you know, so I just thank God that we have that opportunity, and pray that that I can be faithful with whatever God's given me, whether it's little or a lot. My job is to be faithful to my Lord and Savior. And I know we kind of covered a little on that, but hopefully kind of got you with the question there somewhat.
Yes, and I just wanted to mention, I called you about a year ago. I was interested in buying a study Bible, and I asked you what your recommendation would be, and you suggested the Thompson Chain Reference Bible.
Yeah, that's got some good...
to, I was able to find that at Half Price Books at a really good price. And I've been really enjoying using it. There's so much information in it.
Oh, great. I'm glad that that worked out for you. And I encourage people, it's not a perfect study Bible. Every study Bible, the study notes and references oftentimes are things that people put together. But it's nice to have some help from time to time. And that was one of the first ones that I had as a study Bible when I rededicated my life to the Lord and God was calling me into the ministry. And it really helped me quite a bit. And so I encourage people. And there's some great study Bibles out there. But do have to be careful and remember that the study notes are there by men. So thank you for that, Carol. I appreciate that call tonight.
All right.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Call again sometime.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
And we've got Craig, who's been patiently waiting in Borman, Ohio, I believe. Craig, wait. Welcome to the program tonight.
Yes. Good evening.
Good evening.
Wanted to thank you for being there this evening.
Well, thank you, and thank you for listening.
I wanted to thank you for having such a very, very tender heart, and have such a servant's heart to want to serve the Lord in any way that you can. It's very, very encouraging, very refreshing.
Well, thank you.
And before I ask my question, before you're done tonight, if you could let everyone know the best way to support your ministry there, if you could let everybody know, and if there's an address or a phone number, if people want to donate.
Well, I appreciate that. We usually don't make much of an appeal for donations, but if somebody asks, I always tell people, hey, if somebody's got $1 million they want to give me, I'd gladly take it. But our church is where you would send anything, and that would be the Bible Baptist Church. And it's Richfield, or you can just put Bible Baptist Church, and it's Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. That's Bible Baptist Church, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, and the zip code is 44286. Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, zip code 44286. And it costs obviously money to get on the radio and for the airtime and everything. And we're thankful that God has pretty much supplied the needs through His people. And we appreciate any help that we get. And I always tell people the most important thing is prayer support. As a missionary, my wife and I were missionaries. We planted a church in the Samoan Islands in the 1990s. And one thing I learned there, prayer support is better than any financial support. Financial support's good, but prayer support's the best. So I appreciate it. Thanks for that question there, Craig. And you had another question here. We got a couple minutes left.
Yes.
So
I was wondering if you could, because I wanted to write them down, the different verses that support marriage, because when you talk to some people, some people are divorced, some people are legally separated, and to me, when you go forward under the Lord and you take that covenant of marriage between you and one other person, despite what man or woman thinks that they're doing to try to destroy that with the legal things that are here in this country, to me, once you are in that covenant of marriage, no one can break that up. No one can destroy that. Once you're married, you're married.
Right. And I apologize because we've got, less than 30 seconds or so to go. And we'll have to pick this up. If you could call back again, maybe next week or something, we could pick this up some more. But you're absolutely right. It is a covenant agreement. The first address of marriage actually comes in Genesis at the end of chapter 2, where God brings Adam and Eve together. So read that, but we're out of time tonight. I want to thank all our callers. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.